Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, the Elijah Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you are calling on how to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your questions over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, and I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you that's listening, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the understanding unto those who petition you for it. And dear Lord, we petition you this day for understanding of the word of God in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord God, that through this word, your word, that we will come to know, understand, and come to learn what is the way and will of God versus the way that is not of God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will word my mouth to give this message to the people and to show them your way and show them, Lord God, the errors that was even in the early church that we see of the outcome today. So, Lord God, we just give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day. I want to open with a scripture from one of God's books called The Word of the Lord. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he had been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as spoken of in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, Deuteronomy 18 and 18, Acts chapter 3. I want to read out of one of the messages called the 54th message, meaning that this is the 54th time that Jesus had sent his angel messenger, March the 9th, 1942. And he sent him with a message for the people. And I want to read one of these verses in here, which will be the sixth verse. And we're going to move on from there. Amen. So the word of God says, this work shall continue on, for love is the message I bring. The church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, for she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Now, one of the things in this part of the series that we have been looking at from this verse I read was the part that Jesus said the church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. And for him to make such a statement, he is telling us that at one time the church of Christ was destroyed. Now, as I said many times before, for some Christians, that's hard to fathom, hard to register in their mind. Such a thing ever happening, because they think that to accept and admit that is to say that Christ's power was not strong enough to preserve or keep his church, which that is not true. But what it says is that, and as we learn about what happened, we come to understand that it was not about failure on the behalf of Christ, because there was no failure, but it was about what was going on with the people. Because we must understand that. And you have some Christians doing this today. You can claim all the protection of God that you want to, and we thank God for protection. But if you decide to walk away from his protection, if you decide to walk away from living the word of God by faith, then you walk from under the protection of the Lord, and you're out on the open. So we've been looking at in this part of the series, one of the things that contribute to the church being destroyed, and also this includes the kingdom, the kingdom of God here on earth now, the organized kingdom here on earth. One of the things that contribute to its destruction was the evil teachings. And that's what we're looking at for tonight. We are on part three, the Falling Away Church teachings, the first century, part three. And we're talking about the first century because this is where the thing started with the early church. We start to see that things after Christ had established it on the day of Pentecost, that over the course of time, the church started breaking down, started, you know, doing some no-nos and stuff that God had been doing. And so in this part of the series, we're looking at the teaching, the effect of the teaching had on the people in the church that caused them to go astray or go into error. You know, that's like with people, period. You got to be careful what you're teaching people. You know, it's just like with our children. When they was, you know, born, little babies and growing up, we had to be careful what we teach them. Now, they are at a point where you can teach them some wrong stuff, and they will grow up with that stuff in them, okay? So there was some teaching during the time of the early church was not of God. It was wrong. It was evil. And what it did was it was leading people astray, okay? Now, that's what we've been looking at in this part of the series about the teaching. And one thing that amazes me is how that many of these big-time televangelists do not go actually into the history of the church. And so they leave a picture in the mind of people that the way Christianity looked today is the way that God is pleased with it. They leave a picture in people's mind to think that the way Christianity looked today is the way God set it up. Well, both statements I made is not true. When you look at Christianity today, her condition, how she's set up, how she's broken up in fragments, divided, separated, you name it. What you need to understand is that this was not the setup of the Lord. That means, now remember, Christ first established the church. So if today is, if it's showing a setup that is not of the Lord, that means at some place, at some point, she fell off. And that's what she did. So we're going, looking at the teaching today, and there was a couple other things in the teaching that I wanted to go into with you. And I needed the help of the Lord on which way to go with this, because both things that I need to talk about is very important, okay? Because this is in you know, connected to the teaching. So what I want to do is let's go to the book of Revelation. If you got your Bibles, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 2. And we want to look at something that Jesus, now you know for most of your Bibles, when it has something written in the red, it is saying that this is what Jesus exactly said, okay? And in Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 14 and 15, because there are a mention of two, quote, types of doctrines in these two verses that, remember, the doctrines is the teaching that was going on among the people of God at that particular time that was not of God, okay? And I'm going to read these two verses, and what I'm going to do, well, I'll tell you in a minute. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 14 and verse 15. Amen? And the Word of God says, "But I have a few things." First of all, let me start at verse 12 and read verse 12 to verse 15. That would be so much a little bit more better there. Okay. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 12, said, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things say he which have the sharp sword." Let me read that again. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things say he which have the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is," okay? "And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Now, same chapter, chapter 2, looking at verse 6. In fact, I'm going to start from verse 1 to verse 6. Okay, and it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, when it comes to the teaching, there, in those verses I read, especially from verse 12 to verse 15, there was two types of doctrines mentioned. The doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, I was kind of thinking over and wondering, okay, Lord, which way to go, which one to start and talk about first. And it come to me to start with the one that we have what is called the least information about, which is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, this doctrine of the Nicolaitans had to be a doctrine that God just really was against. In fact, in here in verse 15, the Lord said he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, he didn't say he hates the Nicolaitans because God doesn't, quote, hate people, but he hates our deeds or our acts, the things that we do. And so this doctrine of the Nicolaitans couldn't have been something good because God said he hated it. And this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, he said that there was those in the church who was holding to this doctrine, this teaching. Amen. And just like he told, and this he told the church of Pergamos, the church at Ephesus, he said, well, and he commended them. He said, you know, concerning the deeds of the Nicolaitans, he said, I know y'all hate the deeds just like me. So he gave the church at Ephesus credit on that. But here at Pergamos, he said that there was some who was holding to that doctrine. Now, what we want to do now is explore, and the question is, what was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? You know, what was the doctrine of? Well, I have to say from what I've seen from the Bible, it's really not a whole lot of information given on the Nicolaitans. I would tell you what some of the scholars have said about it. But I have to admit that with the doctrine of Balaam that was mentioned here also, there is more information concerning that than it is with the Nicolaitans. Now, in order for us to get some kind of idea concerning the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, you know, to answer the question, what was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that God hated it so much? Okay. Well, the first thing I went to do was to define the word Nicolaitans. I looked at the name because we got to understand that names also have meanings also. Like my name is Nathaniel. Nathaniel means gift from God. So names carry meanings, and names also can give you a description concerning the person who the name is given to, okay? So looking up the word Nicolaitan, I looked it up, the original Greek word, and the original Greek word that was there, that before it was translated, means a Nicolaitan, that is, an adherent of Nicholas. Okay, a Herod, A D H E R E N T, and a Herod of Nicholas. Now, I went deeper on that to find out who was Nicholas. It says an adherent of Nicholas. So my next question was, who is Nicholas? Well, I look up the word Nicholas also in the Greek to see what it means. And the word Nicholas in the Greek means victorious over the people. It means Nicholas. It means a heretic. Okay. Now, one of the things that, and they say many scholars have been divided on, because when they talk about the Nicolaitans here, and because the word Nicolaitans means a Nicolaite, that is a Herod or Nicholas, remember in Acts chapter 6, Nicholas, there was a one named Nicholas who was of the deacons of the six, if you look in Acts chapter 6. Now, some have said, or I say some scholars or historians has said that this same Nicholas had apostated or fell away from the faith and was beginning to teach some stuff that he had no business doing. So this is where some say that these Nicolaitans was an adherent of Nicholas. The word adherent means like a follower. Okay. Now, there's others that said that's not proven that it's the same Nicholas. Well, that's true. I understand that on both sides. So food for thought is this. Could it be the Nicholas? Could he have fallen off? It's very possible. Because remember, everyone that came to Christ did not remain in Christ. Okay? So is there a capability of him falling off? Sure there. We look at Judas, one of the big prime examples. Judas was walking with Christ, but he fell off. Now, that's one food for thought, okay, that these Nicolaitans possibly could have been those that were following this Nicholas, who was mentioned in Acts 6, the same Nicholas who may at one point fallen from the faith and begin to start teaching things that is not of God. And that's a possibility, okay? I can't speak for or against that, okay? Now, in looking at the name Nicholas, because remember, Nicolaitans means one that is a follower of Nicholas. So looking at Nicholas, that Greek word meaning victorious over the people, or Nicholas, or a heretic, okay? So this Nicholas that they supposed to have been a follower of was a heretic. That means he was someone that was bringing in beliefs and doctrines that was making people go away from the truth. Once again, possibly could have been the Acts chapter 6 Nicholas. Then it could have been another Nicholas. But anyhow, looking at the word Nicholas, once again, meaning victorious over the people, you can see that when it's and another man of I heard speak on that said that, you know, the word Nicholas is also dealing with a conqueror of the people. So when you said victorious over the people, that this word Nicholas mean, and remember these Nicolaitans, their doctrine was not a doctrine accepted to the Lord because he said he hated. Well, in one food of a thought, if it's a victorious over the people, we can see this referring to some kind of oppression. Okay? In one sense now, keep it in mind. Either way it was an evil teaching doctrine. Okay? Now, because it said victorious over the people. So you can see in one sense maybe dealing with authority figures abusing and oppressing the people, making the people serve them, and dominating over the people, ruling over them in an evil way. Amen? Now, here's another food for thought that I heard other men of clergy spoke on this, that also the Nicolaitans were a people that taught, and this is a doctrine that they taught, that even though you're under grace and saved, you can still live like you want. You can still go and please the flesh. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, if that being said and that being the case, hallelujah, glory to God, we can see where a doctrine of theirs, God hated, because that's people trying to use the grace of God to say that, hey, the works of the flesh that I do don't affect my salvation. It don't affect me. It don't affect the grace God given to me. God has given me grace. That's it. I can do whatever I want to. Now, when you look at it, that almost sounds like something familiar, now, does it? Well, if you said it, you said it. Once saved, always saved. You got people out there in the church teaching once saved, always saved. That once you saved, you can never be lost, which means what? You can go and do whatever you want in the sin. You can go please your flesh in many ways than one and still go into heaven. Amen. And see, God is not for that. Hallelujah. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost behind it. And see, this kind of teaching was going on in the church. Amen. And you do have also those in the ministry in the church who are, get this, oppressing people, abusing their authority, having people serve them, and amen, had them ironing their clothes, you know, treat them like a king. They ain't got to get up and lift a finger at all. Now, come on. Jesus said, he that's the chief among you, let him be the servant. But guess what? Many of them have flipped the script, okay? And they believe that they are in some kind of authority. You got to serve them. Amen. People, now, some of you might think I'm lying. I'm not lying. There are some churches that are set up like that. That one in the ministry is getting treated like a king, and the women like queens. They ain't even got to iron their own clothes. Amen. They have taken this thing of leadership to a level that God did not intend for it to go. Abusing the authority and laboring people down. Now, yes, you got to respect the ministry, okay? But there's a thin line between respecting and going overboard. And you got many in the ministry, many in the leadership who are abusing their authority and having people serve them like they're God. Amen. And then on the other end, and dealing with the teaching of, well, you got grace, but you can please your flesh because that's not going to affect everything. That's a lie. Remember the question Paul asked, shall we continue sin though grace abound? He said, no. And if we're looking at this thing with the Nicolaitans teaching this kind of thing, then they were teaching against scripture. And see, God said it as we read in Revelation, that their teaching, he hated it. Their deeds, he hated it. Okay? Amen. You got a lot of people doing this today, okay? Let me get more specific. A lot of supposed to be professing Christians. They're professing to be saved, but they're living like the devil. And guess what? Ain't convicted, ain't bothered, nothing. No remorse, because what's the first thing they said? Well, listen, I'm saved. So they're among the same people that if you catch them stealing money and you say, hey, brother or sister, that's stealing, that's wrong. They want them among the same one that tell you that you can't judge me. Amen. Well, you can say amen on me. You say the one. Some of you might say, well, I don't want to say nothing about nobody. Well, just go ahead and keep your mouth shut. I say it for you. Amen. Yeah. And they're going around committing all kinds, not just sin, abominable acts. Abominable acts now. And still up there saying, call me man of God, call me woman of God, and doing everything under the sun, and you have and are fooling people, making people think that it's okay. And they going around and teaching this stuff and tell people, say, hey, you know what? You say, you ain't got to worry about never being lost. Oh, man, you got to worry about, you know, like I told, share with you guys back here a while ago on one of the broadcasts, that when I was working at a grocery store called Peer Wiggly, that's in year 1990. I worked there 2 years. And I think this was in the year 91. I think I had been working there about a year. And these group of people who supposed to have been Christians, who was they had a place where they got together. It was outside of town here, like more in the country part. And these same people come in the store one day, and they tell me, say, you know, they asked me about receiving the Lord. I said, well, yeah, you know, I told them, I said, yes, I have received the Lord, and I'm saved, and all that. And they say, okay. They said, well, you saved, you know, you don't have to repent. You can, and I said, wait a minute. You know, they said, you can sin. You know, I said, I asked them, I said, so you saying I can sin and I don't have to repent? No, because you saved. I said, whoa. And listen, I was saved about a year, and in my spirit, I knew better than that. Thank God for that. But see, a lot of people wouldn't know that. Listen, they will catch a lot of folks in their flesh. When I say a lot of folks, a lot of sincere folks and folks that's, you know, maybe baby Christians or something like that, they'll catch them in their flesh, and they will lead them to doing all kinds of sin. And having that person think that it's all right with God because I just confessed and gave my life to the Lord and I'm good. You got a lot of churches like that today, people. Yes, you do. That's claiming the Lord. You got a lot of them like that. Listen, you got people in the church. You got the choir director sleeping around, and everybody in the congregation knows it. Sees them get up there and lead a choir and then give a testimony and tell you how Jesus is the head of him or her life. Amen. You got some in the pulpit who's married, fooling around, big on money, milking the church with money. I mean, the church just looking puny and dry because they ask for so many thousands on a Sunday. Amen. And we'll be quick to tell you how they was called of God. See, you got many churches who is set up to just cater to the people. Now, you say, well, what do you mean? Because we got to serve the people. We're in leadership. Yes, to a degree. But here's what I'm talking about. You got some people that are church hopping. And one of the reasons why they church hopping, because they don't like to join a church that hold them in accountability. See, you got people want to join churches where they can get drunk that Saturday night all the way up to 2 in the morning and come to church the next morning and lead the choir. You got people out there that can go and fool around with every married or man or woman out there and still come in and do what? Preach in the pulpit. So you got some people that like those kind of churches. And those same kind of churches tells you what? You going to heaven. You going on be with the Lord. And some of those same churches at funeral, when one of them dies, they want you to tell everybody how that person just went on in the pearly gates. Oh, they went on up there. Oh, Brother Jacob is there. And you knew what Brother Jacob was doing, and you knew how he was. And when you confront Brother Jacob about it, Brother Jacob got smart. Most times, sometimes cussed you out. And then when you tell him about the Lord, cut you off and said, I don't want to hear nothing about the Lord. But the same Brother Jacob is gone to heaven. Amen. Amen. See, we got that teaching going on today. Amen. We got it going on today where that is being taught that once you come to Christ, that's it. You can live any kind of way. Now, people, let's think for a minute. If that was so, what was the need for you to get saved? Okay. For what? Remember, the Bible tells in Ephesians 2 that before we got saved, we were fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature, what? Became the children of wrath. By nature. We had that sin nature, and that sin nature had us as what? Children of wrath. The wrath of who? Wrath of God coming on us. Why? Because the way we live was all in contrary to the word of God. Now that he saved you, you mean to tell me that you can live that same old sinful lifestyle and still bust the pearly gates open because you have accepted Jesus as Lord? That's what you're telling me. Well, that ain't scripture, okay? That's why I say, people, be careful of these doctrines, especially the ones saved always say. There are some doctrines out there, people, that float around that is not just error. It's just simply dangerous, okay? And this once saved, always saved is one of those doctrines, because you're telling people that you can take advantage of the grace of God, okay? You can take advantage of it by what? Just going on and sinning like you were before you got saved, living any kind of way, because guess what? You're saved by grace. You know, that's just like making a fool out of God. You ain't gonna make a fool out of God. See, God ain't crazy. That's why he told you, say, hey, repent. Repent don't mean just have a change of mind and expressing sorrow, but it means turn away from the thing. That's what he was saying. If he wanted us to stay like that, what did John tell the Pharisees and Sadducees in Matthew 3? He said, bring ye forth fruit meat worthy for repentance. In other words, there got to be some action to show that you repent. Okay? So if you claim to accept Christ as Lord, that means your life got to be turned away from the life that you was once living. If you can continue to live that life you once was living before you got saved, I say once again, what was the need of you getting saved? Okay? See, this is why some sinners be so baffled at some Christians, because they say, wait a minute, I thought he or she was a Christian. Man, I saw them other night. Man, they were hanging out in the club. They were doing all kinds of stuff down there. And man, I thought they were, and see, this is why some sinners are so confused. Okay? And this is why, one thing to tell you the truth, it's dangerous for us as Christians, in a sense, to go out and be living that sinful life, because we're causing souls not to come to Christ. Because why? They're seeing you, who's supposed to be a Christian, shaking and wagging your behind, naked and everything, either snorting up drugs or getting drunk and all that on the side. They seeing this, and they go, what do I need to get saved for? This man calls himself a Christian, man. He doing what I'm doing in some kind of worse. Hey, you notice that when the Bible said, when an unclean spirit is cast out of a man and going to dry places, seeking rest in it, what? It's fine, though. Then it does what? It comes back. And it brings seven more wicked spirits in itself. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Do you know that when you, and maybe some of y'all as Christians that's listening, maybe you've seen this with certain people. Have you noticed that when you knew certain people who once say, when they came to the Lord, when they turned back and went out to the world, do you notice that they were worse than they were before they got saved? Yeah. You be like, my goodness, man, when you was a sinner, you didn't do this stuff. Man, now you're doing it to a degree that's raised up. Why? Because Jesus told us in the Bible that whatever you're delivered from and you go back to it, you end up worse, okay? You don't go back and perform it at the same level before you got delivered. You actually get worse. Amen. Well, you can say amen, old me. You know, I know this is not one of the popular messages that many want to hear, but that's the truth. Okay? It's the straight up truth. So God, he hated the doctrine and the deeds of the Nicolaitans, because it was disrespectful. So, you know, by him saying that, there was nothing in their teachings that he was all right with. Nothing at all. And see, this stuff got into the early church, and once again, it caused people to be led astray. You teaching people this stuff, you teaching them how to, you know, teachers that say, okay, you saved, but, you know, your flesh don't affect your salvation, so you can go out and please whatever your flesh want to do. Your flesh want to get drunk, do witchcraft, commit homosexuality, go ahead and do it. You know, adultery, fornication, do it. Revelings, go ahead, have the wild parties and the orgies. You know, you can do all that. It ain't gonna affect you. Hey, man, you still gonna bust the pearly gates open. You going in there with rockets on your back. You going in there real fast. Amen. That teaching that teaching and preaching is going on today. See, some of your churches, they skip preaching holiness because they know some of the people that will get hot mad. Why? Because many people in the church don't want to live in holiness. They don't. Listen, they don't want to live in holiness. They want to live that thing is, I want to live my own way. My own way. If my own way means smoking crack in my own house, or if my own way being a man fooling with another man, or a woman fooling with another woman, I want my own way. That's what's happening, okay? That's what's going on. And see, this stuff is being taught in the churches. Yes. Many of the churches that's claiming the Lord, this stuff is being taught in the churches. Once you come to the Lord, you saved forever. You can never be lost. The scripture does not support that. The scripture does not support once saved, always saved. It don't support that teaching. And you have teaching it today, and they're getting people to listen. People are following them on that. Amen. You know, you got these celebrities here on earth following some of these big-time televangelists. And I saw in one sense why. Because some of these big-time televangelists, number one, they won't preach against sin too much. They might pick a little something here and there, but that, they don't have too many sermons where they're going to preach against sin. And now I started to notice that more of them are starting to compromise, okay? You know, this is why, for example, Oprah Winfrey can be being good with some of them, because they won't preach the true gospel that will show how Oprah Winfrey's teaching, because remember, she's been telling people there's more than one path to God, and you got a lot of people believing her. Why? Because she's Oprah Winfrey, okay? Oprah Winfrey could probably say a dog can spit and the spit will turn to fire, and people just believe because of her status. See, people look at the status of how rich you are, how popular you are, and you could say something, and it's written in stone with them. So, but some of these big televangelists who I see be kind of connecting with Oprah Winfrey, I noticed that they won't talk the real true core of the gospel with her. Because they in tune with her. If they did, Oprah Winfrey probably wouldn't even be liking them, okay? That's the honest truth, okay? Amen. And so you listen to her talk with these big-time televangelists, you think everybody getting the free pass of heaven, okay? Because the way they talk. But see, here's the thing. As Christians, we're going to be judged, just like the sinners will. We're going to be judged on account. You know, listen, some of you as Christians, you so petrified of confrontation. Now, I'm not here to tell you confrontation is likable. Everybody don't like to face confrontation, but you're going to face it. And some of you, you're so afraid of confrontation that when it really calls for you to open your mouth and stand, I ain't talking about cussing folks out or calling them rude names, but stand and say, oh, no, that's not of God. I don't agree with that. That's not of God. Okay, and I know it's not of God, but some of you are so afraid to even say that at or against some people who are being bold by used by Satan boldly to speak against your God. But see, you want to stay silent and not say a thing. Okay. Well, I wonder what you'll do when they turn around and say, "Hey, you know, once you get saved, you good. You can live like you want to." The great thing was you came to the Lord, so you covered. What are you going to do? Just look funny and put your hand over your mouth so you won't say nothing or what? These days are calling for the men and women of God to contend for the faith, like you said, that was once delivered to the saints. Amen? And we have to call these things out. Some of you as Christians, you are mad at other Christians because you said, because these other Christians, there are some who've been calling things out. You got to call out evil. I'm not talking about you doing it in a prideful way, but you got to call it out. But some of you are mad at other Christians who are doing that because you're like, they don't need to do that. Well, you won't do it. You in the corner hiding in the closet. Probably going to take them to knock down a couple mountains, some trees and some houses before you even move to say anything. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, but what I'm saying is this. I'm noticing how the staying in the corner Christians is starting to mouth off and talk at the Christians who are standing up to the forefront. And you're saying stuff like, don't say that. You might destroy them. Don't do this. Wait a minute. Where are you? Where are you? Glory to God. We have to call out these ministers who are having people treat them like a king. We got to call out and say, hey, that's not a God. Well, you got to respect. Yeah, you respect your pastor. God has said make your pastor God. And like I said, with some of them, they ain't even got to iron their own clothes. It's like they got maids at the house, okay? Just look at it today, people. Look at what's happening today. You know, some of these ministers are being treated like Jesus Christ himself. And you ought to see what the people are doing. Some of them are literally worshiping their pastors. They're literally worshiping people in the ministry, okay? Literally worshiping. And some of the pastors are milking the congregation. They're milking them dry. They got to have the Rolls Royce and the Bentleys, while some of the members of the church who dropping that money over there in the collection plate, they're last and all that, struggling. Their cars, all four tires are flat, and the motor is gone, and they have to walk to work, and pastors just look over there at them and just smile and keep going. Give a wave and keep going. But when that person come back to church the next Sunday, the pastor's talking about, now, hey, you know, God said give, and we need to give. And these are some of the same ones that if that amount of money they ask for on a Sunday don't come up, they go silent. They won't preach. Oh, the extremity of things that are going on today. It's going to an extreme, people. Amen. It just got very ridiculous of what has happened. Now, I'm going to just hold it on this one today. And Lord say the same Sunday, I'm going to come with the other one about the doctrine of Balaam. But I wanted to speak to you guys about this doctrine of the Nicolaitans. God said he hated it. Okay? Be very careful, people. If anyone that's teaching you that, hey, you still can live any way you want to live. You save and you're going on to heaven. Don't be fooled by that, because that doctrine will send you straight to the pit. Okay? I'm just going to tell you exactly how it is to send you straight to the pit real fast. Okay? Amen. You know, Lord, he ain't sin now. Amen. See, God, our Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation, in the word he was giving to those churches starting off, hey, God was coming pinpoint with them, okay? He said, now y'all got these teachings and stuff that's going on. And see, these teachings affected the early church. And like I said, you got men out there who, you know, and many of your televangelists, they just won't speak on the things of the church. They won't speak on about the early church. They won't tell you, because like I said, in some of these churches, this stuff right here I'm talking to you about is happening. And some of you listening know what I'm talking about. It is happening. It is literally going on. This is what's happening now. Okay. You got churches that's, you know, going with this kind of teaching. And this is why you get so many people. See, listen, if we get 1,000 people to come and join, thank God for it. But I'm not going to be stuck on numbers. See, a lot of your churches, and especially some claim to be a God, they stuck on numbers. So when you are stuck on numbers, That means that you'll be willing to compromise just to get members. Okay? This is what a lot of churches are doing today. They're compromising the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they say, hey, we know you're a drug dealer. We know you sell drugs. But, hey, as long as you ain't did stuff out in the open, you can come and be a member. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do, and we just praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you in the name of Jesus, because your word to be praised. And Father, I pray that you would bless all of those who have listened to the broadcast. May you watch over and keep them. May you strengthen them in the name of Jesus Christ. For the glory of the living God, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. We have a broadcast tomorrow night. Brother Eddie Lee, the Full Gospel Mess with Brother Eddie Lee. Look for the advertisement then. So, once again, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church of Christ the Life, the Message, on a broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.